Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to go before the Lord in prayer. If you could just bow your heads, let's prepare our hearts and our ears to hear the word of God today. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we're just so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be here. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher tonight, Lord. I pray that it has nothing to do with my words or my preparation, but Lord, I pray that it's all about your wisdom and, Lord, your counsel. So, Father, I just ask that you would speak to us tonight, Lord. I pray that as we get into the subject of the Word of God and the things that you want to talk to us about, Lord, I pray that we would just have ears to hear and ears to listen and eyes to see, Father, to hear and to see your Word, God, and to apply it, Lord, to understand what you want us to know tonight, Lord, that we would be equipped, Lord, as we're here today, to come to church to be equipped by you, Lord, that we might leave tonight and be your church, Lord. It's not about coming on a night. It's about us being your church. So, Father, I thank you that you would equip us to be who you've called us to be. Holy Spirit, teach us, motivate us, and move and guard us and guide us in our lives, Lord, that we pray that we would give you all the praise. We pray that we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Hey, we're going to start a new series in the month of February. Every February, we've always kind of branded it as our love month. For the people that are in love, they're always like, man, I can't wait for love month. And then the people that are like not in love or don't have that kind of feeling or they want to be in love, they're always like, man, I don't want to come in love month. I promise it's not going to be this month about gooey, sappy, you know, sticky love. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about the real truth behind love. And the title of this, the series is going to be Re-Love-Ution. Re-Love-Ution. You got it? All right, that's kind of like, I don't know if I made it up, but I feel like I made it up because I didn't look it up online. So if somebody else did it, I'm original, okay, because I didn't look it up. But Re-Love-Ution, it's the love revolution. Because, you know, if you look at the word revolution, if you take those four words, yeah, anyways. All right, so Re-Love-Ution, we're going to talk about love and how it can really revolutionize our lives. And as we get into the subject of love, we're going to go one step deeper every week. Now, the messages are going to be simple. They're going to be short. They're going to be, you know, interactive and stuff like that. So you don't have to worry about if you miss something, you know, you won't be able to catch on to it. But rather, what it's all about is looking at what love is, looking at how love works in our lives, and looking at how we can apply and put love to work in our lives. Because ultimately, everybody in their life wants love. Nobody in their right mind. Honestly, somebody could try to be, you know, they could try to go against the what everybody else is saying. They could try to be that one person that says, I want to do it this way when everybody else is going to do it that way. But the truth of the matter is that nobody in reality does not want to be loved. Why? Because there's something on the inside of us that has this desire for love. And so we're going to talk about this Re-Love-Ution topic or this love revolution and what this means for you and I. Because I believe when we really get an understanding of love, when we understand what love really means and what it really means in our own lives to love, then I really believe it will revolutionize our lives in the way that we love, in the people that we love, and in the things that we do in the name of love, and all of the understandings that we have when it comes to love. It's such an integral part of our life that I believe when we have a clear understanding of love, it will really begin to revolutionize our lives. Now, how many of you guys know that when it comes to love, you've got an expectation and you've got a reality? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Expectation and reality, right? Expectation is it's going to be like The Notebook, right? Or Pride and Prejudice or any of those other movies. Reality is it's kind of more like a dramatic comedy. There's a little bit of, you know, a little bit, it doesn't work the way you always thought it did. You know what I'm talking about? There's an expectation and a reality. Well, we got a little video, right? Yeah? Yeah, we got a little video that I want to show you of kind of the workings of a date and when it comes to the expectation and the reality of what goes on in a date. So we'll dim the lights, draw your attention to the screens. Thank you. When it comes to love, we have this expectation of what love's going to look like. What it's gonna feel like. You know, we've got our fairy tale mapped out. You know, I'm gonna get married, and then I'm gonna wait 5 years, and we're gonna travel Europe, and then after 5 years we're gonna have a baby, and then we're gonna have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence in our house and a little green lawn, and we're gonna live right next to downtown Redlands so we can walk with our pants rolled up to the market night, and we can sip on Augie's coffee and we can live the good life. That we have this expectation of what life is, but the truth is especially when it comes to life, but in looking at life more specifically, when it comes to love, it gets a little messy. It doesn't always go the way we planned it to go. Now, tonight, we wanted to kind of get you guys involved. We wanted to kind of get you guys, you know, one of the things that we've always talked about in Shift, especially in this relaunch, is getting everybody just to connect to each other. And I think some of the things that's one of the best things to do to connect to each other is just to kind of maybe tell stories or share stories. So I want to take a moment and take a break in what we're talking about before we go any further. And I want you guys to answer a question just in your little C-shaped, you know, booth. You can pull your chairs in if you want to get closer. It's all right. It's, you know, I promise you probably all won't bite each other. But the question is have you ever had a date disaster? Without going into too much detail, share it. Now, I don't want you to go, you know, be like, oh, man, you don't even know what happened. But, you know, you maybe had one of those dates that went wrong. Like, oh, you know, I'll break the ice. I'll tell you mine, okay? I remember it was high school. Take me back, all right? You know, back, you know, the record scratches. And all of a sudden, I'm back at high school. It was my senior year. I just had my heart ripped out of my chest from my ex-girlfriend. She was just horribly mean to me. And she was a terrible person. She just broke my heart. She treated me so unfair. And I was dating this other girl. She was really nice. She was really cool. It was my wife, by the way. I ended up getting back with her. So anyways, it was the winter formal dance at my school, at my high school, all right? The winter formal. I didn't go to the prom, and I didn't go to the homecoming because I got my heart broke at homecoming. But I went to the winter formal, and it was the winter formal. I was going out with this girl. She was a super nice girl. Well, it just so happens that the winter formal was on Valentine's Day. And so she shows up and she's like, it was a day after Valentine's Day. So it was like this year, the 13th. It was on Friday. Oh, dang, I didn't even think about that. And so she showed up to school and we were dating and she got me all this stuff for Valentine's Day. She showed up and she like just poured out all this Valentine's Day stuff. And I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't get her anything. Like, I didn't do anything. And so I got to go home at lunch at high school. So I went home. And I went through my room and I grabbed a bunch of things that looked girly and I packaged them all up. And when she got out of school, I gave them to her, right? And she was like, oh, so sweet. So anyways, we go to the winter formal dance and I'm expecting, you know, we're going to dance. We're going to have a good time. It was all the way out like in Riverside from Yucaipa and everybody dressed up and rented the nice cars. And I took my dad's car. It was awesome. And the whole time I was sitting at the dance and I was like sitting with all this group of people that I didn't even know because my friends were over like on the other side of the room and they're all looking at me like, dude, what's up? And I'm sitting here all by myself with like another guy and another guy chewing bubble gum while all of our dates were like dancing with each other. And I'm like, what's up? You know, like, and so I try to like, you know, creep in and do my dancing, and that's why I gave up on dancing. And she kind of would like give me the cold shoulder like, no, I came to the dance to dance with my girls. And I'm like, this is lame. So I just left her. I didn't even bother. I didn't even eat the dinner at the table. I had dinner at my friends with all my friends. And then anyways, we're driving home and she's super quiet, super awkward. You know that awkwardness and when the date's gone sour and you know it's going to happen, right? And she says to me, she says, Luke, where'd you get that little teddy bear you gave me yesterday for Valentine's Day? I'm like, oh, you know, instantly like the blood starts rushing to your face. You know, you can feel it. You're turning red. And I'm like, oh, I bought it. And she was like, okay. And then it was quiet for like 10 minutes. And then she came back and she was like, I know where you got it from. Truth be told, I know where I got it from too. My ex-girlfriend gave it to me the year before for Valentine's Day. And I didn't realize that she must have wrote me a little love note on the little tag. And so I gave it to this girl. And it had a love note from my ex-girlfriend on the little tag of the teddy bear. And she dumped me in the car. Man, I had to drive her home after she dumped me. It was terrible. It was a date gone wrong. I had an expectation for the night, and it totally didn't live up to it. So maybe you got a date, or maybe you got an event. Maybe you were hanging out with somebody like you saw that Jimmy Kimmel video a couple of weeks ago where Nicole Kidman came to over his house. Maybe you had a date disaster. So maybe not all of you do, but if you got one, just take a couple minutes and just laugh about something that went wrong, an expectation that you had that just totally didn't happen. And we'll come back and we'll talk about it in just a moment. It was all her fault.
Freedom.
story? All right. No, finish it. If you're in the middle of a, like, you can't miss. The story's got to have a punchline, so I'll give you a second to. You're like, no, you ruined it. You blew it. So who had, like, a crazy embarrassing, anybody have, like, a really good one? I had another really good one. Anybody have another really good one? A really good one? Am I the only one that has really good ones? You had a, does the group agree that you had a really good one? Or are they kind of like, no, dude, don't be sharing it. How about this one? I'll tell you one. Stacy reminded me, my first date, my dad, again, told me to, you know, he's like, it was the first time my family was going to meet Stacy when we were like little kids. She was 14, I was 16. And it was like my family made dinner to meet her, and everybody wanted to come over. So all my older sisters came over, my grandma came over, and everybody came over. My dad's like, listen, man, you got to pick her up in style. So you got to take my car. So he had an Audi at the time. And so I took the Audi and I picked up Stacy. And on the way in, the way he had to park my dad's car in his garage is he had to like make a 3-point turn in the driveway because there was a gate. But the way I parked my car every day, my hoopty ghetto truck that I bought for like $250, I just pulled in, you know, because the garage on the other side where I parked. So I was just used to just pulling in and turning. Well, anyways, as I'm driving into the driveway, I just start turning like I did with my car, and I rub my dad's Audi all along the side of a big old black gate. Just, we get out, and we're like, oh, and it's all dented and black scrapes. And Stacy was like, just take me home. I don't want to be here. Take me home. I don't want to go in. Take me home. And so I had to go in and tell my dad. I'm like, hey, here's Stacy. By the way, I crashed a car. And so for the whole night, she didn't say one word to my family. She didn't eat anything for dinner. My family was like, who do she think she is? And we made her dinner and she didn't eat. And we tried to talk to her and she didn't talk because she was so scared and shaken up from me crashing the car that for like 5 years, my family was like, don't you marry that girl? Don't you marry that girl? The first time we met her, she never talked to us. She didn't like us. She was rude and was like, no, she was just shaken up by the accident on our first date, man. I tell you, love is full of what we have, what we think is expectation, and what we realize is reality. You know, we heard a date about one of the guys in our group. He went over to a girl's house and he said that only grandma talked to him. And it was like the rest of the family ignored him. And then there was a pinata, and he's like, I'm gonna be a cool guy. And he went to go hit the pinata, and then the cousin shouted out like, that's for the kids, fool. And he was like, oh man, like you just have an expectation of what it's gonna be like, and then there's this reality. And what the truth is, what I want to talk about, what I wanted to get at is that when it comes to love, we've got this expectation on the inside of us, but there is a reality of love also. And I want to talk today about true love, because ultimately everybody wants love and everybody wants true love. You want it, I want it, you look for it, I look for it. No, everybody, the movies are all about it. Everybody has this dream, everybody has this vision, everybody has this, oh, there's that one man, Snow White, saying one day my prince will come. It does not matter, everybody wants love. And we look for this true love. But the thing about true love is that you want it, I want it, and we spend our lives looking for it. But the thing about true love is we already have it. And we don't realize it. But when we realize that we have true love in our lives, it will make all other love change. It will make all other love better. It will make all other love that we experience greater because we have true love. If you've got your Bibles, you can go with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John in the 4th chapter. I'm going to read tonight out of the New Living Translation. It's kind of a different, a more modern paraphrase. So if you've got that, or if you've got your phone or your iPad or whatever you got to read a Bible, you can bust it out or thumb it out, whatever it is. Go to 1 John in the 4th chapter. And we're going to talk about the subject tonight of relovution, or this love revolution inside of our hearts, inside of our lives, is in this revolutionary love. Is I want to talk about the very first step, the very first concept, the very first idea of love is the concept of true love. Because there's not a single person on this earth that doesn't want true love. So today I want to take you there. I want to look at it. We all want it. We all look for it. But the truth is, we all have it. 1 John 4th chapter. I'm going to start in verse number 9. I'm going to skip a couple of verses. We're just kind of going to pick up and skip the explanation parts. And just I want to just point out some things. So 1 John in the 4th chapter, verse number 9. He says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world, that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, John says. This is real love. You want real love. You don't want the movie love. You don't want the messy love. You want the real love. The love that has a meaning in your life. The love that does something to you. The love that changes you every moment of your life. The real love. And John says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Now I'm going to jump down in verse number 16 because he talks about the sacrifice. In verse number 16 he says, we know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. Why? Because God is love. Today we're talking about true love. John says, this is real love. That God loved us. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us. And then he goes on and he says, for God is love. You see, everything that you will experience in life, the very fact that you have the ability to experience the emotion, the feeling, the sentiment, the idea, the thought of love, is because God first loved us. I've got dogs. I got two dogs at home. And sometimes I think that we look at animals and we say, oh man, they must love each other. You know, you look at penguins and you remember that movie, The March of the Penguins, where the daddy sits on the egg for like 6 months and the mama goes and eats the fish and then she comes back and barfs it back up for the baby when the baby's hatched. And then while the mama watches the baby, the dad goes. And for the life of the penguin, it's called they're monogamous. They only have one mate. And you're like, oh man, that's true love. Oh my goodness. Animals, penguins, dolphins, elephants, dogs. Animals don't experience what you and I experience. Because God didn't send his son to die for the giraffes. God didn't send his son to be nailed for a cross to save the black rhino on the plains of the Serengeti because he's going extinct. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. To die for me, to die for us. Why? Because God is love. And because God showed love to us, we now love God. And we know how much God loves us because we have been made into the kingdom of God through the acceptance of Jesus Christ. So he says, God is love, and all who live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. True love, the love that changes your life, not the kind of love that Cinderella had on that night where her bippity-boppity-boop mama came and changed her life, not the love that Snow White had, not the love that Elizabeth Darcy had, or not the love, I don't even know what the Notebook Girl is, but not the love that the Notebook Girl had. Okay? True love. And as we live in love because of God's love for us, as we live in love, the Bible says that our love becomes perfected. Meaning our love grows. The love that we have for our spouse, if you're not married, the love that you have for your eventual spouse, prayerfully. Or the love that you have for your children. The love that you have for your friends. The love that you have for your family. The love that you have for the things that you love becomes perfected. Why? Because you and I have experienced the height of love, the height of love, the pinnacle, the summit, the very top or the peak, the highest caliber of love a human can experience is the love of God to them. That is true love. And when we accept, when we realize, and then like John says, when we live in true love, our love becomes perfected. Everything else gets better. Your relationships grow. Your marriage gets healthier. You love your children more. Your friends and your family, you reach out to them more. You become a better person to those who are around you, who you reach out to you. Why? Because your love is growing, because your love is fulfilled in God. The highest pinnacle, the peak, the summit of love for you and I is from God. We spend our lives searching for love, seeking for love, only to realize all we have to do is stop for a moment and understand that we already have it. We just have to accept it. Just have to accept it. So he goes on and he says,
As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him. Why? Because confidence that we live like Jesus is here on this world. And I want to skip down to verse number 19. He says, we love each other because God loved us first. Some translations say we love God because God loved us. Some translations just say we love because God loved us. Other translations bring it one step further, like what's on the overhead, and says we love each other. So what is it? Do we love God? Do we love others? Or do we love? It all boils down to the same thing. We experience love in our lives because God first loved us. Everybody wants true love. Everybody wants to find that love in their life that will change their existence, their understanding. But you've got to realize you've got it. You already have it. God loves you more than you can even dream. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul says, man, I'm convinced that there's nothing. There's not height or depth, nor breadth or width. There's not angels or principalities. There's nothing on earth, and there's nothing in the spiritual world that can separate us from the love of God. Which means that there's nothing you can do in your own life that will make you so bad as to say, man, God doesn't love me anymore. God must not care about me any longer. God must have forgotten about me a long time ago. There is nothing on the face of this earth that we see or that we do not see that can separate us from the love of God. Why? Because that is the pinnacle, the greatest, the summit, the highest point of love in our lives that we can experience. We have true love right here, right now. All we have to do is accept it. So how do we live in true love? How do we operate in this true love? What is this true love? What is the truth behind true love? It's a challenge. A challenge. A challenge that the question is, are you up to it? Can you handle it? I like how they say, can you dig? It's a challenge to each and every one of us. True love means to love God first and to love God most in your life. Think about that for a moment. To love God first and to love God most, which means you love God more than anybody else in your life. What? What? Pastor Luke, I'm married. I got a wife right here, man. That's the highest love. No, true love. I'm not saying that you don't have love. True love is to love God first and to love God most. But wait a minute. I got a kid. You don't understand. When I had a kid, there's something about having a child. This is the fruit of my loins. I remember looking at my son the night he was born and thinking, man, I've never experienced love like this. I remember when Stacy told me that we were going to have our daughter. We didn't know it was a daughter, but we were going to have another kid. I thought to myself, I don't have enough love in me to love her like I love my son. But then she came out, all of a sudden was like, man, I got a lot of love. I love her just as much. I don't love one more. But you see, true love is to love God first and to love God most in your life. Before we go any further, I want to take you back to that discussion. I want to take you back to the question. I want to take you back to talking to each other, because I gave you a challenge. That's a hard word or a hard statement to digest. So I want to ask you, I challenge you by saying love God first and love God most in your life. The question is how does that challenge you? How does that challenge you? You don't got to get all super deep and be like, man, this is, if I don't answer the right way. What does that mean to say when a pastor stands up here on a stage, a guy stands up here on a stage and says that if you want true love, you've got to love God first and you've got to love God most. How does that challenge you? What does that challenge in your thinking? So we're going to take a couple minutes. We'll talk about that in your little C-shaped groups. And then we'll come back and we'll resume and talk a little bit more about the subject of true love tonight.
All right. So let's wrap it up.
Some of you didn't want to talk about how you got challenged by that. That's okay. I understand.
Some of you had no problem talking about how you got. Some of you didn't even talk about the question. That's all right either. Whatever. So here we're talking about this challenge that true love means to love God first and to love God most. We saw out of 1 John in the 4th chapter that we love because God loved us, whether we love God, whether we love others, or whether the fact that we just love because God loved us. So you see, the very peak, the pinnacle, the height of the love that you and I experience in life should not be because Mr. Darcy swooped you off your feet, girls. The very pinnacle or the height or the peak of love should not be because you found your princess waiting for you in distress, guys. The height and the peak, the pinnacle, the very summit of love that we should experience in our life has got to be with God. Beyond every other relationship we have, beyond every other experience that we might encounter, God has to be first and God has to be most. That's a challenge. That's hard. As a husband, that challenges me. That it makes me a little uncomfortable because I want to love my wife. I want to love my children. I want to love my family. So there's this rubbing of me the wrong way in my personality to say I got to love God. This thing, sometimes I feel like is what is this, you know, this presence in the sky. But to understand and to accept and to live, like John said, to live in love because we are in God and our love becomes perfected. So I challenge you by saying that true love means to love God first and to love God most. But let me take it beyond just me challenging that. Let me take you to a challenge from Jesus Christ. Luke in the 14th chapter, verse number 26, I believe, but verse number 25 says that all of a sudden the crowds, the multitudes, they thronged him. They came after him. They begin to follow after Jesus. It says in the New King James, it says, "Now a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them." You already read it, but can I just lay out what Jesus is doing? Pastors, like me, like when I see a lot of people, I want to do everything I can to keep y'all here. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when people come and all of a sudden the service is big, I'm like, man, that's good. I'm going to do everything I can to keep the service big. So Jesus has a service and it got big. So instead of being like, hey, you know what, everybody, I just want y'all to know I love you. You're my friends. Keep following me. Thank you so much for leaving your family and letting the dead bury the dead and leaving everything behind and following me. He turns to the crowd and he says, if you want to be my disciple, to the multitude, to everybody following, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. What? Wait a minute. Pastor Luke, are you saying that Jesus said to hate everybody else? Well, oh, first of all, I'm not saying it. I'm reading it. All right. Secondly, look at what he's saying. He's saying, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else, not comma, not period, not end of thought. He's in the middle of a thought. Don't misquote Jesus. Don't be like the media and don't try to fact check and do everything else. Read in context what he's saying. He's saying, by comparison. You get it? By comparison. Which means that if you were to have a little, you know, back in the day, they had the scales. You know what I'm talking about? The scales where you put, I remember when I was in like grade school, they had that where you had to put like a little gram in science class and it was on a little teeter-totter. Remember that? And like you put something over here and you had to put a paper clip over here and like balance it out and see how much it weighed. You know what I'm talking about? So Jesus is saying is that if you were to take your love for me, the love between God and you, between you and I and Jesus, if you were to take your relationship with Christ, and you were to put it on one end of a scale, and then you were to put all of the other love that you experienced in your life, whether it's your husband or your wife or your child or your mom or your dad or your aunt or your grandma or your grandpa or whoever it might be, if you were to take all of that love and put it on the other end of the scale would still tip dramatically, drastically, flying to one side, because your love for God and the love that you experience between you and God so heavily outweighs everything else that it almost looks like hate in comparison to how you feel with God. That is a challenge to Jesus. It's not, you don't got to clap in favor of me like, man, Pastor Luke, I got to clap you so you keep on preaching. Everybody else is like, dude, I should have stayed home tonight. No, it's good, and I'll tell you why. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yes, even your own life. Oh, man, sometimes we want to find true love, and we find true love when we look in the mirror. You know what I'm talking about. You know why I know what you're, you know why? Because, I just, at the behest of my interns, to be cool, to get with the times, I joined Instagram. I know, I'm there, I have arrived. You know, I can start walking with a limp because now I'm there. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, I'm legit. I got 7 followers. But already I have seen the truth. The truth is we find true love the moment we turn our little cell phone camera on and it's pointed right back at us, right? Because we all like to take selfies. I even saw somebody walking around with a selfie stick. A device especially designed for me to take pictures of myself. Are you kidding me? And so Jesus says, everything, the love for yourself. Your selfies. Girls, when you pucker up in the lips, you know. You know you do it. And listen, girls, guys, you're not out of the woods. You like to you don't take selfies. Guys are like, I don't take selfies. That's right, you don't take selfies. You don't point the camera back at you. You go in the bathroom. And you look at the mirror in the wall. And you got your tank top on, and you puff your chest out. Or maybe, I remember Pastor Joe, when we were in college, Pastor Joe used to go do a bunch of push-ups. And he would, ha, ha, ha. And then he would go right into the mirror and be like, oh, dude. Be like, dude, you don't get buff like 30 seconds after working out. It takes, it's like, no, man, your muscles swell. So you guys, you know what I'm talking about. Because you like to take the picture. You go like this, you know. Got your tank top on, or you know. Jesus says all of that love pales in comparison to what you have with him. The challenge, true love is to love God most and to love God first. And when you love God most and when you love God first, you live in love. And when you live in love, like 1 John says, then all of a sudden your love becomes perfected. That means that your relationship with your wife grows stronger. That means that your relationship with your kids when you have them gets better. That means that your relationship with your family grows deeper. That your relationships with your friends, you become a better friend to the people that you extend yourself out in love. Why? Because you have experienced true love, real love, everlasting love, filling love. Don't spend your entire life overlooking true love to find love. Don't spend your entire life overlooking true love while you look for love. You've got it all along. You just got to realize it. You just got to accept it. You just got to believe it. You just got to live in it. You just got to speak it over yourself. I am loved. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, I think it's in the 3rd chapter, says, oh, what a manner of blessing it is that we get to call ourselves the sons of God. Because he brought us into his family through his love with Jesus Christ. The peak, the pinnacle, the height of love in your life is between you and God through Jesus Christ. Now, I got a little illustration I want to show you just to kind of, to bring it like Michael Cranshaw said, thanks for going Bill Nye on us, Pastor Luke. I'm like, I'm going to go Bill Nye on you tonight and give you a little illustration. All right. Remember back in the day in the 90s, this is your brain. Right? The egg on the, you know, this is your brain on drugs. All right. This is you and me. Right here. This empty vessel. Nothing. Oh. There was supposed to be nothing in it, but. All right, this is you and me. Let's try that again. An empty vessel. There's nothing inside of it. Nothing pours out. Well, not anymore. You see, that's us. We're empty on the inside. We're born with this desire to experience love. So we have this emptiness, and we got to fill it. It's got to be filled. So we spend our entire life our waking moments, everything we do, we spend looking for love. Pastor Luke, I gotta talk to girls. Pastor Luke, you gotta help me. Pastor Luke, that girl over there, I think she's gonna be my wife. Pastor Luke, can you help me talk? Pastor Luke, can you help me talk to boys? I need to talk to a boy. I need a man. We spend our life, y'all ask me all the time, Pastor Luke, I need a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. I tell you, you need a job. But anyways. We're empty vessels looking for love. And then we find that love. Oh, there she is. She's so fine. Or he's so hot. He makes me sweat at night. Oh man, I tell you. And we fill the emptiness with love. But something happens. I'm a pessimist. Some of y'all are like, man, that's cool. My life is half full. But I'm a pessimist. I see that as it's still half empty. There's still an emptiness. There's still a void. I can still tip it out and nothing happens. Because the love, the man, the woman, the comfort of somebody's company, the child, whatever it might be, the friendship, the grandma, the grandpa, the mama's love that you had in your life does not fill the void, because it's not big enough. It's not big enough. You got to have something bigger. But you see, God designed you and I with just the right capacity, that when we go to God and we accept who God is, when we accept that we've been loved by God, when we realize that there is no greater love on the earth than what we have between us and God, all of a sudden, something happens. You say, Pastor Luke, it's not all the way full. That's why I had Brad bring me an extra one. Here we go. All right, there you go. There it is. So all of a sudden, we are topped off. We're at the pinnacle. We're at the height. We're at the peak of love. It's like, man, I'm so full. I don't need a man anymore in my life. I don't need him. Girls, you say, I'm dating Jesus. Our life becomes fulfilled because now it is filled with love. Now, John said, well, okay, because you've got love and you start living in love because of the love of God, it's perfected. So now all of a sudden that girl comes around and she's like, what's up, girl? What's up, man? What's up, boy? All right, well, I got it right. That guy comes around and was like, what's up, girl? And y'all get married, and then all of a sudden a kid comes out and you're like, oh, my goodness. And then your family, your relationships grow. What happens is you begin to overflow. You begin to pour out. That love grows. It perfects. Because now all of a sudden, you're full. Now all of a sudden, you've got more than you need. Now all of a sudden, it's pouring out. It's overflowing. It's running over. Because you have been filled by the greatest love this world has ever seen. The love of God for you. Husbands, you want to be a better husband? Get into God. Wives, you want to be a better wife? Get into God. Someday you're going to have kids. You say, man, I want to be a really good parent in this day and age. Get into God. Because when you get into God and you let the love of God fill you, then everything else in your life overflows. A guy a couple weeks ago came up and says, man, Pastor Luke, how do you know? How do you know? When it came to Stacy, did you know? Did God tell you that you know, she was the one? I says, dude, the reality is, man, is ain't nobody told me. Everybody told me no. But I loved her. And he says, man, I just don't know. And I says, man, here's the question I'm going to ask you. Do you love God? And does she love God? And do you love each other? Is it good for God? Is it good for others? And is it good for you? He says, like, oh, man. If you love God and she loves God, then everything else will fall into place when you love each other. Because the first and the greatest and the most love in your life is between you and God, not you and your boyfriend. Not you and your girlfriend, not you and your wife, not you and your kids, not you and your mama, not you and anybody else, not you and yourself, you and God. And when you fill yourself with the love of God, you become overflowing. Don't spend your life, your days, wandering about overlooking true love while you look for love. Accept God's love in your life. Go with it. Roll with it. Take it in, breathe it in, live in it, and let it begin to perfect your life and watch your relationships grow. Watch your fulfillment grow. Watch your parenting grow. Because, like Matthew 6:33, we always give Matthew 6:33 away to finances. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Think about that with your love. I need a man. I need a woman. You need to help me talk to a girl. You need to help me talk to a boy. I can't do this on my own. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Fill yourself first and foremost with God's love, because that's what God created you to be filled with, his love. And then everything else will overflow in your life. Don't spend your days overlooking true love while you look for love. You've got it right now. I got one more discussion question, kind of to kill the moment, because it's all just set in right now and I just want to kill the moment, just to destroy it. And the last discussion question for y'all is, do you think that Hollywood has helped love or has hurt love? Tell me, you can talk about it. Give it, cite examples if you wish. I've already given you a couple, The Notebook and Pride and Prejudice. So talk about that for a moment, then we'll resume. I feel the nations of the earth are shaking. There is no power that can match his grace. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see. All of creation is waiting. Oh, that's my plan. I'm good. I got the time. Cause we don't have a game tonight. Anymore. No, this is just it tonight. Yeah. Shoot, talk behind me. I'm not back.
Man, I never felt right here on stage.
That's,
this is scary. I can see my pastor Paul.
All right. So tell me, what do you think? Has Hollywood helped or hurt the idea of love? What do you think?
Hurt.
Man, y'all are like, you're judging on Hollywood. Man, what'd they do to you? Why do you think that they hurt? What has Hollywood done to damage the idea of love?
False hope.
Man, they're out to kill you. Anybody else? Nobody. Everybody wants to shout they hurt, but nobody wants to say why, huh? All right. No, I think there is some truth there. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's not something that I'm going to tell you. Well, you know, it needs to be this. You know, I wanted to just kill the moment. It's really all I wanted to do. No, I'm just kidding. Don't overlook tonight. Don't overlook true love because you're looking for love. Get God's love. Get into God's love. And let everything else overflow in your life, because you'll never be fully full until you get into God's love. Before we leave tonight, I've got just a couple of minutes. And I'm going to invite you. And you know, I've spent the whole night telling you about God's love. The whole month of January, in essence, was about love anyways. And yet we're continuing the series of love. Pastor Joey talked about being love masters. It's an inside joke. Because I misquoted his service. But you see, it's not about just God's love. That's great. God loves me. Wonderful. You can know that God loves you all day long and still go through your life empty. Because until you do something about it, you're still like this. You could have the full vessel of God's love right over here. The preacher could tell you about it every week, every night. God loves you. Here it is. God loves you. Here it is. God loves you. Here it is. And you could still be like this, empty on the inside, wanting, waiting, wishing, and hoping for love. It starts by making a choice to say, God, I want to accept your love. God, I open the lid to my empty life so that you can pour your love on the inside. And how do you open that lid? How do you make it so that you can get filled? How do you make it so that you can experience this true love that I talked about with such conviction tonight? You do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What does that mean? We don't talk like that anymore. Lord and Savior. What does that mean? You accept a relationship with Jesus Christ as the leader of your life. God most and first in your life. You see, we have all sorts of misconceptions as to why we're okay with God. Why if we were to die, we'd go to heaven. We think because I'm a good person. Because I wear Tom's shoes. Or because I give the product red. Or because I helped out in the Ebola effort against Africa. That because I'm a good person, I stand for social justice, that I'm going to get to heaven. But did you know that nowhere in the Word of God that we read tonight does it say that you're a good person and gets you into heaven? We have these